Maori te whānau, nau mai hoki mai ki Māori Millionaire. Welcome back to the Māori Millionaire podcast. I am super duper excited for today's podcast episode. Today we are here with Jade Kawana Eccles. She is the co-founder of Juicy Wā alongside Maddie Mae. Jade has come on today to share the reality of starting a pakihi from your passion, but also having a full-time day job. Today we're going to be running things a little bit different. I have never done an episode like this before, but I had this intuitive idea. I was actually on the plane and I was like, wouldn't it be cool to kind of flip the roles a little bit and get someone else to ask me the question, someone who wants to learn more, and just grow in this space. And so I was like, Jade is the perfect person for this. She's just started her pakihi and I'm literally so excited for this. So yeah, it's going to run a little bit differently where Jade's going to be asking me pātai. Before we get started, as always, the Māori Millionaire disclaimer applies. None of the information provided should be considered as financial advice. I'm not a financial advisor, but for a copy of the full disclaimer, that will be available in the description down below. All right, let's get on to this. Jade, for everyone listening in today, would you be able to share a little bit about Kōwae Koe, why you're here today, and yeah, just share a little bit about you?
Oh, kia ora iho hoa, tēnā koutou katoa ko te mata tōku maunga, ko ngā riroro tōku awa, ko raunanga tōku marae, ko Ngāti Parau, Ngāti Kaha, Kahungu, me tūwharetoa o ku iwi, i tupake au ki Ahitereiria, engari no Uawa me here taonga ahau, me e noho, oh, e noho ana pōneke ināianei. Ai, and ko Jade Kawana Eccles, tōku ingoa. I am Jade, and I've recently started a pakihi with a really good friend of mine, Maddie Mae, and we have previously worked within a different dance brand called Honey Pot. And so that is Auckland-based. Shout out to Danny, our wahine that brought Maddie and I together. So she has the Honey Pot, which is huge in Auckland. It's a beginner dance class brand that is all about being confident, showing up for yourself, being in a community of beautiful beings that hype each other up within movement space. And so she, Danny, planted that in Pōneke and got myself as the Honey Pot, which is like the hip hop commercial dance teacher. And then Maddie Mae, who does the sensual heels flow in a separate class. So that discontinued in Pōneke this year. We're really sad about it, but for really good reasons, because Danny had her new baby girl. So her hiding out is leading her to a different type of divinity. And Maddie and I are just ready to continue this kaupapa. So we have created a new dance brand, Juicy Wā. And yeah, should I explain the birth of it? How
Yes, go for it.
are we? Okay, cool. So when we got told by Danny, discontinued of Honey Pot in Wellington, Maddie and I got together ASAP because we just ready to move the tinana. And we both agreed that we wanted this to be kaupapa Māori orientated. I whakapapa Māori, and Maddie is a complete she's a complete supporter of Te Tiriti, Te Reo. Like, she is in te ao Māori, but her whakapapa is within Irish English realm. But yeah, we wanted this to be kaupapa Māori orientated, and also a lot of my day job has, I'm already surrounded in it. So we wanted the ingoa of the brand to be in I Te Reo Māori, and kanikani kept coming up. And then as time came on, we were just like, okay, what is it going to feel like? What do we want people to feel when they turn up into this space? And what comes up the kupu a lot is juicy. I'm like, that is exactly how I feel in the classes that we've done with Honey Pot. I just feel just juicy, full of life, full of zest, and just yum, yum. It's like it's a vibe. It's a vibe.
I love this.
We thought, oh, how are we gonna combine cunny cunny juicy? Because that didn't really have a ring to it. And then we were with some friends and we're having a wānanga about it. And then the kupu wānanga came out, and then I said wā, obviously, so that meaning time. So, and then juicy again, like combining into having a tattoo, juicy wā. And I'm like, oh, it does sound a bit, oh, fuck, it sounds weird. But then we had our friends like bounce and soundboard some things where they said it's related to wahine, it's related, not that there's exclusively wahine, but it's
Yes.
just us, Maddie and I as well.
Yeah.
Wahine, wānanga. Ella, one of the friends said up the wahs just to take the piss.
Yeah.
And we love that because it's like multi-dimensional, and then waha. So there's a lot of, we liked that it just felt like there were so many angles to it. And so many sensations of like feeling when you hear wah, and everyone's got a different perception of it. So we thought that kind of feels right. Juicy wah feels like the right ingwa. And then under it, we've managed to, because the future vision for this is for Maddie and I to travel around with this brand once we've established our, community, our reputation, our kaupapa is really solid. We will put the kani kani and then key, the destination. So kani kani key
Love
Pune is here. And then, if one of us travels, kani kani key da da da. So it's like we're really grateful and stoked about that process of the name. And yeah, we've up and running in our classes right now. We're running a koha series, started like 2 or 3 weeks ago, running to the 1st of July. And from there we are now working towards having a complete online, business with a booking system, branding established. Our main platform is Instagram. That's where majority of our previous community has been. But we also want to expand to like Facebook, the email list. And this is the Haidinger that we're on right now. And I think that's why I'm like particularly grateful to be in this space with you, Te Kahukura, because, well, bro, you are so expansive. And the path side that I have to get some knowledge on like how to make this a smooth sailing journey. Yeah, this is just a great opportunity for that. So thank you so much.
Oh my gosh. It is like, as I was just saying before we chucked record on, for everyone listening in today, one of my friends, she told me she listened to the episodes of this and she was like, I feel like you could do something different. And it's funny because I had this plan and I was like, this is something different and I'm just so excited to do this and to just share some of the things that that I've learned on this, and I wanted to touch on that too. Not smooth sailing journey at all.
Well, good. At least I can relate. We can relate together.
Yes.
Maybe.
And I feel like that's just business, right? Like it's gonna have its ups, it's going to have its downs. But one of the things that I really value in this journey and something that I've really been able to do from the get-go is get around people I want to learn from and like being able to just like bounce ideas off or like have your blind spots reflected or just like learn new things. I think that's been a really key part in some of the things that I've been able to do. It's because I was like, let's have like wānanga, let's wānanga this, let's learn, like let's just all be on this journey and like just doing this. So I'm really, really excited for today's kōrero. Your questions are amazing. I was really looking forward to diving into all of those, but I don't want to yap on too much because I want to save some time for our questions. So basically, I want to hand the arco over to you, Jade, for you to take over, for you to ask your questions, for you to pick my brain, and just, yeah, let's go for it. I'm super excited.
Cool. So so Maddie and I have brainstormed this last night, and I'm so grateful for her as well. We bounce off each other so well, where we've found a lot of things that we'd like to know on this journey. So the first part that I have for you is how, but when you had a full-time job, how did you manage your time outside of the job to start growing your pakihi on the side? What did it look like? Because I'm finding that I'm struggling with my day job and giving my aruhan attention to juicy wā.
Yeah, no, this is such a good question. And I just wanted to start off, I should have picked this up on our notes, but actually, I was studying full time. I was
Right.
working part time and I was helping to nurse my kuia when I was starting the business. So I had a lot on my plate. I wasn't in full time employment, but I was working more than full time at that point when I was starting my business. And one of the things I realized was that like when I hit my breaking point, when I was just at my lowest and I was like, I've got so much, on, but I want to grow this business. I want to create change in my life. I want to do something that I've never done before. I realized that what I wanted was something different. What I wanted was something that most people, don't have. I didn't know anyone. Like, I knew business owners in my whānau, not at the time when I started. I knew one business owner just like in general when I started my pakihi. And so I couldn't see anyone doing what I wanted to do. And so I realized I was always been a big reader. What I realized was that if I wanted something different, I had to start behaving different. I had to start being, when we talk about like the 1%, it's like 99% of people behave in a certain way, and that's why 99% of people get the same results. So if I wanted to, become the 1%, if I wanted to do that, which is a journey I'm still on, I had to start thinking like that. I had to start behaving like that. And so one of the things I learned was, something for nothing doesn't exist. If you want to grow a business, it's going to require choosing this over something else. And like, I think that's something that a lot of people, I think, misunderstand about this journey is that like, and I myself have like been there where I'm like, you want to grow this, you want to succeed at this, but then it's like that means you have to like more than just put the mahi in, because like so many people have really good work ethic, but it's like going beyond that, being able to learn from the things that we're not doing good at, being able to implement systems and processes. So just a few tangible things that I wanted to like leave you with and the audience with is one of the things I did was a time and energy audit. So I looked at my life and I looked at the way that I was doing things and I was like, where am I spending the most amount of time? Where is a lot of my energy going? Some of the key things I picked up on was that I had a lot of turbulent relationships in my life, and that consumed a lot of energy. So I was arguing a lot with people in my life. I was having a lot of disagreements, and this consumed so much energy. And so I had to start creating energetic boundaries of like, this is what I am available for, this is what I'm not available for. Full disclaimer, it's not as easy as just being like, I'm not doing this anymore, I'm not doing that anymore, because I'm actually reading this book, Buy Back Your Time by Dan, I think it's Dan Martell. And what he talks about is like, I think it's like 90% of entrepreneurs have a tendency to find or create chaos in their lives. And that's like one of the reasons why businesses are created. They want to create solutions for some of the different experiences they've gone through in their life, and they want to like create a space to create a solution for that. And so one of the things I realized was that that was like one of the pieces of chaos. Like I was consumed, a lot of my energy was being consumed by those things in my life, those relationships in my life. But then also time, I realized I was spending a lot of time vaping. I was spending a lot of time, doing things that weren't moving me forward. And so this started off with me literally creating a journal, and I would track my day. I would track the time from when I woke up, what I did. So, when I first started, it was wake up, open my phone, scroll on TikTok, do all of these things. And I was like, okay, that's not moving me towards the life that I want to live. So then I had to slowly start cutting these things out. Vaping, smoking weed, like all of these things, I realized, well, I'm spending so much time doing this. This isn't moving me towards the life that I want to live. So I've got to cut these things out. And I started small. Like, it was so hard at the beginning because that was the life that I was living. That's what I was used to. But that time and energy audit was like vital in being able to firstly identify what needed to change in my life. The second thing that's really important when you are really busy, but you want to dedicate your time to growing something outside of this, is what are the systems and processes you use? So we don't rise to our goals, we fall back on the systems that we have. That's a concept I learned from James Clear. And what he kind of is saying is like, we can have this vision of, say, growing a successful business or, increasing our income, but we will. Like, the results that we create in our life come from the things that we're doing every single day, the habits that we have, the, those small things. So key tangible thing that I did was I created documents. So if someone sent me a question for something, say for example, in my pakehi, a lot of like the service was doing workshops or doing public speaking. So I found a lot of the questions were the same exact question. So I don't need to spend my time manually answering every single thing. It's like if I've got a document that just asks the key things that I need to ask, or the information that I need, because like sometimes people will say, "Hey, can you come do this event?" But they won't put the date in it, or they won't put da 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 in it, the information. So if I have a document that just asks all those questions, then that makes it more of a seamless process. So for anyone listening today, if you've got, no matter what your pakihi is, if you're getting the same questions, create a document with the answers on that, and that's something you can consistently work on and build over time. The other thing too is questions equals content. So if you're getting the same questions, like make content based on that. So one of the questions like I get all the time is, are you even a millionaire? And like this is so strategic because this like it puts people engaged in my brand because they're so confused. They're like, what is this 21-year-old wahine up to? Is she even a millionaire? And so I create content that's like, no, I'm not a millionaire, da 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 da. And it's like questions equals content. The other thing too you can do is like use your website, your social media as like that live Q&A kind of thing. So just having all of the answers there means you don't have to manually answer all of those questions. So I very rarely, if someone sends me a message, will answer them personally. So they will message me a question and I will say to them, Kia ora ewa, like thanks for your question. I'll record a podcast episode about this, or I'll post the answers on my stories, as opposed to responding directly to that person. Obviously, if it's like a personal thing for them, related to something, then I will. But if it's like a generic thing, like blur out their profile picture, put an emoji on it, and let everyone see the answer for it. Because if one person's asking that question, probably everyone is. So those are like some two key things. I did have another one, which was non-negotiables. So when you're starting a pakihi, we all know there are like key things we need to do in order to grow this business. Like you can think about the version of you who, say, is touring the country, doing these dance classes, doing, traveling all around the country. What kind of things do they need to have in their back pocket? Is it an online following of like people who are like so engaged in this, kaupapa, people who love dancing, people who just like are all about this, who just want to like come and have a kani kani. So what do you need to do in order to get there? Okay, it might look like every single day there's a piece of content going out teaching people about dancing or teaching people about what you guys have to offer. And one of the really cool things is that you've got two people in your pakihi, so you can actually split that up. So you could do alternate days where every single day, each of you are posting, pieces of content doing this. Non-negotiables really served me because I basically had to become my own boss, and that's what you are when you're in business. So if you think about your boss at your normal job, it's like there are key things that you have to do. And it's like you've just got to have that same mindset in your pakihi. What are the key things you have to do? No matter what, like, if we went to mahi and we were just like, oh no, I'm not going to do anything today. Like, eventually you're going to lose your job, right? Same concept in your pakihi. Like, your business won't grow unless you do the things you know you need to do. And then one more thing. I know I'm yapping on so much, but I just had so many ideas.
Loving it.
So many ideas pop up when this question came through, was the mindset of it all. So I was big on the, when I first started, it was like, I was a big blamer. Like, I blamed everyone for the things in my life that I couldn't do, that I, wanted to do, and the results that I wasn't getting. And it was like, it was this person's fault because of this, it was that person's fault because of that. And what I realized was that that thinking did not get me to where I wanted to go. And so I had to change my mindset from, I don't have time to post on social media, or I don't have time to, dedicate time towards my business. It was, how can I do this as efficiently as possible? So one of the things I did when I was working and studying and doing all of these things was I set aside a few hours per week, and I found it easier to batch create content than it was to create content on the daily. Now, this one of the things I did was, There was one point where, like, it varies my posting schedule. Sometimes I post twice a day, sometimes I post once a day, but at one point I was posting twice a day. So I was like, I only need to make 14 posts a week. Like, if seven of them are reels or TikToks, then I literally just need a video, chuck some random text on it, put a sound on it, and then if the other seven are literally just a picture, so you know, on Facebook you can post your words. Then it will have, so like mine will have Māori Millionaire at the top, it will have the words. I was like, screenshot that, put a random backdrop on it, and then schedule that onto Instagram, put a caption on it, chuck some hashtags on it. I've got a notes, you know, on my notes app, there's like these hashtags that I use for every post. So it's like very simplified, it's very easy to do. Memes, quotes, I used to post so many memes on Māori Millionaire, you know, about money and stuff. Because those were the things that I had time to do. I wasn't like, I don't have time to, you know, spend heaps of time creating all of this content. It was like, what can I do? And with that, like, you don't just want to, like, do lots of action that's not really going to move you forward. Create content that's actually shareable. Create content that people actually want to consume and learn from it. Like, be okay with it not being perfect. Like, I scroll down to the bottom of my Instagram page sometimes just to remind myself of like where I started, where there's like literally four likes on a post, and it's like I did that and I kept on showing up, even though literally like three of those were probably like people that knew me. You know, I just kept on showing up and I just kept on posting even when I wasn't seeing results. So yeah, those are just some things about like managing my time outside of mahi to grow my pake. I hope that was helpful.
It was, and and just a soundboard, there was so many takeaways I got from that, but a main one that I'm hearing or feeling for how I translate that is it's a whole like internal world that you're rebuilding to create that reality that is your vision. So all the parts, all the inner dialogue that's happening needs to be rewired in order for the outer world to be rewired. And that's a huge thing, because I do have a lot of practices where I'm quite present and give attention to my thoughts, my patterns, constantly improving, like constantly catching things. But one that you said about, I do hear myself say that doing content is hard and having the time for it. But the way that you have reframed that, as you do so well, is where can I find and how can I do it? It opens a door of the magic that happens after opening that door. It finds it for you. It's like you don't have to have the answers. You just ask the Pātai and the right Pātai. And that's what I'm hearing from you, is like constantly checking in with how to open more doors rather than close them and get stuck and feel like this is why I can't do it. And this is why I'm not growing in this space, is because it is hard. And it's like actually, it's an internal thing, and it's beautiful when we can do, yeah, more the open-ended ones, I guess. That was really helpful. I'm excited to ask myself those parts I after this. Like, okay, my girl. So now that we've been asking closing and like quick.
I can't wait to hear the update.
Yeah, and be like, how is this gonna look like? Even when you said the content, so you would you like actually I'm Oh, sure. Now I'll say now, when you capture everything. So if I'm just filming while I'm dancing or doing content related things, I would pick a few hours to then collect that all together and make it like the following week's schedule, and use those few hours to do the editing, because the editing is what I find is a lot of choppy and changing, time consuming. Because sometimes I find after classes I then get stuck until 11 or 12, and then it's not phenomenal all the time because I'm really big on sleep and my whole order. But yeah, sometimes I'm just doing that till the late nights. But I could be doing it in one set time period, is what you were saying.
You know, kei a koe te tikanga, like everybody's different, so everybody works differently. For some people, like doing it on the day will, you know, work better for them. I just find that it's a mental thing. So when you, every single day you wake up and you know, oh, I've got to create that piece of content, oh, I've got to do this, oh, I've got to post on my stories, That's a mental stress, like even when you haven't even done it yet. And so that can be a barrier towards actually doing it. But if you know that your feed content is already scheduled for the whole week, and all you have to do every day is, if you feel called to, sharing something on your story, then that's just a bonus. But you know that the bare minimum stuff is already done. And so finding ways, you know, when you're talking about editing, like I don't edit. Like I will take, you know, I will chop out some bits where like I'm like, well, that looks a bit dodgy. But like, you know, like I think that messy action is beautiful. Like it doesn't have to be perfect. And like literally scroll down to the bottom of my page. Messy, messy, messy. Like I didn't even know about like brand colours or anything like that. Like some of them were pink, some of them were blue, some of them were just all these random colours. But like I was doing it, and I made a rule to post every single day. And so that was like my 1% better thing that I did to start my pakehi. So yeah, I find it like some people might work better. So when I'm like full time, I am actually trying to create some content because I'm feeling like that is something that's creeping into my life now. But for the past, say, 6 months, a year even, I have been creating content on the daily as opposed to batch creating content. So one of the things is just like doing that like reflection on like what do you think's working and changing it up if it's not. So if the strategy you're using right now of trying to create content every day isn't working, try batch creating content for a month, see how that feels, give it a chance, and then see how that goes.
That's awesome. I'm so excited to have a tattoo because that will also allow me to get to know myself better and how I operate.
Yes.
Creating content. Creating content
Yeah.
is it better done in a batch
Yeah.
or daily? Cool. I'll go on to the next part. So, how did you build a solid brand? How important is it for people and just for them to see that consistency for its service? Just a quick example is Mads and I right now, we are yet to put the aroha and wā into branding, colors, all the things. And we know that what we create now, we're just going to wipe once we have established or, gotten together. But we're like, does it actually matter? Like, we just put our posts on weekly of here are our classes. This is a timetable. Like, just, now you know. We've seen in Honeypot that it makes a huge difference in Auckland. And the con like the engagement is huge, but yeah, we're just curious. I'm like, does the colors matter? Do the you know that's we're just thinking about it. So yeah, pathway to.
I love this. And I just want to give some, like, I love this question around, like, do the colors matter? Because, as I said, when I started, like, I just put random colors behind. Like, literally, you know how when you open Instagram and you can, like, put a random photo on? At
Yeah.
the last photo of my camera roll, I'd use that color wheel thingy and I'd just make the background whatever the last color, like whatever the last photo was on my thing. I didn't know about like colors or anything like that, and I just did it randomly, but like that messy action compounded over time. So I think like if you know to like, you know, say have your, if you've got your colors, you've got your branding, then like use those, but like don't let it be the reason why you don't create content, why you don't do the things that you want to do. When it comes to building a brand, people buy from people and brands they trust, and they want to put their money towards, you know, things that they're like, oh my gosh, like I have seen this girl Jade, I have seen her business partner like creating content, and like I just love their vibe, I love it so much, I want to be in one of their dance classes. And so one of the things that I want to just like normalize, this is like for me, this is for absolutely everyone. There are like a million different people in the world doing the exact thing that you're doing. Like, no, they're not called your exact business name. No, they don't, you know, have you in their pakehi. But there are all these other options out there for where people could do dance classes, where they could find space to do that. So you've got to identify what your point of difference is. Why would someone want to come to your dance class over a different dance class? For example, in my pakehi, there are literally like millions of people talking about the exact same concepts that I speak about. Like, it's, you know, I do have like, some of the things I speak about are like my own flair to it, but like ultimately, So many people are talking about the exact same things, but the difference is how I speak about it. The difference is that I'm Māori, the difference is that I haven't cracked it yet, and people love that because it's relatable. And so, just like a product-based business, it's got to be clear what you do. You can create a lot and lot of content, but if people don't actually know what you do and what the result is of like working with you, then they're not gonna want to do it. So how you want to do this is you want to like show up consistently. You want to share like what it is that you do. You want to share the differences that you have. So is it that by joining a dance class with you over someone else, you know, maybe like I don't do dancing, so I'm not, I feel like this is like a tricky one. But say for example, at one dance class, like maybe the teacher goes really fast and it's just like not a vibe for everyone in the class, and like people get overwhelmed because they feel like they can't keep up. But maybe in your dance class you do them very slow, you do them very like maybe you do it with people, maybe you like go around and dance with everyone. Like I don't really know,
No,
I'm not a
you're
dance
doing
girl.
so well. Like for someone who is not going to dance classes, because that is a point of difference. That is a point of
So that like speak to that. Tell people about that, amplify that on your content, because there will be people, like some people will love a fast dance class. They want to be in that vibe, like I don't know, like F45 vibes, I'm not really sure, right? So they might love that, but then the other people, they might really love the slow ones. And if you're doing the slow ones, then they need to know that when they come to yours, that's what they can expect. And so you're going to attract people who like that, who want that. And then they're gonna like, you know, tell their friends like, oh my gosh, no, you've got to come to, like they're gonna go to the class and be like, no, it's not like the other dance classes we've done, sis. Like these ones, like they're chill, they're like, you know, whatever it is. And so that's about branding. You know, when people talk about building like a personal brand, I think a lot of people think about it like what you post on Instagram, what you post on LinkedIn, what content you create. Everyone has a personal brand. It's who you are. It's what you do. It's what you stand for. And so what you want to do is you just want to communicate that to people who otherwise wouldn't know you. And the really beautiful thing about social media is that this is free marketing for your business. This is a free way to push your content out to so many people. Like literally you could today create a piece of content of you dancing. It could literally get 1 million views tonight, and then like tomorrow the whole of Pōneke is at your dance class. Like literally, like it doesn't take anything. Like that's why people, this is a quantum leap. You don't have to, you know, sit here and go like I'm slowly going to like slog my guts out for like 10, 100 years, and then eventually it's all going to be worth it. Literally everything could change tomorrow, but you've got to stick at it, even if it doesn't change tomorrow, and you've got to just like be consistent, you've got to continue to show up. Yeah, I think when I started creating content, like I was just having fun, and I think that's the most important thing in building a brand. Like being yourself, being authentic is just like so valuable. Like if we look at like the Kardashians, or we look at all of these people who are just like picture perfect, right? There's enough of them. Like, just be yourself, just be you. And like, I look back at the content I used to create when I first started, and I cringe so hard. I'm like, who let this girl post this content? But it's like, people love it because it's just me. And like, as I've evolved, as I've grown, like my content has definitely changed. As it should when you grow and you evolve. But like, it's always been like, who am I and what's the difference here? And people love that. So be yourself, like, share your point of difference and share from just like, how can I have the most fun today? When it comes to your branding and like, what makes you super different?
Yo, oh, it's exciting. It's so exciting because when I think about Maddie and I's Pukehi, I don't like you. I don't see and I don't hear a lot of dance studios that kōrero i tiri o Māori, and it's such a big opportunity in Aotearoa now and just within Te Ao Māori. Like it's really important to weave in no matter the level or where you're at, and that's a big point of difference for us, and it's really important for us to utilize the reel that we have and grow that on our own Haerenga. And we have had a lot of feedback. It's so wild in the classes where Pākehā wahine will just come up to me and say, I really enjoy that you speak in Māori, and I try to do it at mahi where there's no Māori. And sometimes they get stank faced or whatever. That's when I encourage them, like, you know what, the fact that you used it, and even if that other person wasn't a fan or asked you what did you say, you just reiterate it and then you translate it, and that's how we grow and continue this, taonga of ours. And it's beautiful that she can understand that, and I can see the rest of the community know and understand and appreciate that. But that was a big one for us. It's like, we're not seeing that, and it should be, it's wherever we can, it's important. So cool. I'm
Like,
excited.
hype that up, like, speak about that, like, share that so much. Because if, like, as Māori, I feel like it's so important that we create spaces that just feel so safe for us. Because, there aren't always spaces for us to go and feel safe, to kanikani, to be there and, like, speak it up. Because you're gonna find so many people who are like, oh my goodness, like, where have you been? And, like, I just want to touch on this. So, like, it's service. When you genuinely believe in what you do, when you genuinely believe in the products, the services that you sell, it is a disservice to not get your bum on Instagram and speak about it, to not get on there and tell as many people as you can. It is a disservice to the world to not stand on a stage and not tell people how your dance classes are literally going to change their lives. Because, and I think about this beyond literally like dancing, what is the impact of this? Is it that like these wahine, tahine, like literally anyone are going to come to your classes? And they're going to find a community of people they can dance with. They're gonna make friends. They're gonna like move their body. They're gonna release energy. They're gonna all of the things, right? That's transformation. That's life changing. This could save someone's life. Like, this is so serious. It's so deep. And like, I want you to move into it with this energy of like, when you're creating content, it's like, it's not mahi. It's not like, oh, I've got to create content to do da 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 da. It's like, by me showing up and like sharing this with as many people as possible, I'm changing the world. Like, that's how deep it is.
That just shifts whole weight of it into a different space of being, hearing that seriously, because I'm thinking about myself as a teenager, or when I'm speaking to friends in Australia or in other parts of Aotearoa that don't have these kinds of classes available. Like when we saw Honeypot, we're like, damn, finally, like a beginner let loose, like femme class where you can just go at it. And it's just not available everywhere. It's really hard to find in a space that isn't judgmental and that is just for you, for your whatever you're there to release or to. But beautiful. I'm so excited. Okay, I'll move on to the next part, right? So this one's real relevant to what I experienced this week. So how do you deal with doubt of the unknown when you're wanting to grow in areas that you haven't been to before, but you're a bit fearful of what others might think? Just a quick example. This week I was making curry for my cl for the Kōhā class, and I wanted to try something different. I'm realizing I'm not in Honeypot anymore. I don't have to reiterate and do that style, which is authentically Denny, Denny. But for me, I'm more of an R&B girly. I like a bit more hip hop. I like to have it slow and stretched. It's not just fast paced, like energized, bam, like fast. It's not just that. It's more my ahua, which is slow, juicy R&B. And when I thought about that, I put it into the curry that I used for this class this week. And during the class, I just had a lot of doubt, and I could feel it leak into the room and the class. And I realized that I didn't know how other people were feeling about it because of how insecure I was feeling about delivering a choreography that was more on my own authenticity. And I was scared of, like, damn, maybe they shouldn't like it, or maybe I shouldn't be delivering this. And I just kind of got in a cloud of, Oh my God, what am I doing? What do I do now?
No, I love this so much. And there's a couple of different points I wanted to touch on with this kōrero. So one of the first ones is a fear of failure. Like when you have this fear of failure, fear of rejection. So it's like when you have an idea and you're like, oh my gosh, it would be so cool to do. Like literally you, when you were like, wouldn't it be cool to create this space, right? Every idea that comes into you, I really believe that a future version of you has already achieved that, and that's why that has come through for you specifically. Because not everyone had this idea, like not everyone is born with this. Like, oh my gosh, wouldn't it be cool to do da 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 da? Only some people are given that specific thing to do, so it's come to you for a reason. That's the first thing to like know, and then the second piece though is, your mind wants to protect you. So when you have an idea of doing this and you're like, well, this might mean putting myself on social media, this might mean, running classes, this might mean running it in my own authentic style. What if people judge me? What if people don't like it? What if people, come to a class and then they're like, this isn't my vibe? We're gonna come up with all of these things. Like, what if I pour so much into this and it doesn't work out? What if I pour my time into this, my money into this, all of the things? And this is just your mind trying to protect you from the potential risks of this. That, yes, someone may join your class, they don't like it. And like, that's perfect because you're not going to be for everyone. And so they might join one and they don't come back to another one. Or they may join it, their life becomes completely changed, and then they're like, I'm literally never gonna miss a class again in my whole entire life, right? So what you wanna do is you wanna flip these thoughts. So when you have a thought come in of like, oh, like I don't know if I should do this, it's like, I am going to magnetize the most soul-aligned people coming into my world when I am my most authentic self, because authenticity is the absolute highest frequency above love, above literally everything. And so when you are yourself, you're going to bring those people into your world. And I want to share an example, right? So when I started Māori Millionaire, I was like, oh my gosh, like, well, before I started it, I was looking online and I was at my rock bottom, and I wanted to see on social media someone I could relate to, someone I could like look at and be like, oh my gosh, I want to create the life that you've created. But for me, there was this big gap in between where I was like, you're all the way over here and I'm all the way over here. And so I was like, well, there's a problem here because there's nothing relatable for me on the internet. And so I was like, I want to start something, but I had all of these fears. People aren't going to care. People aren't going to listen. People aren't going to like want to be involved in this. Like, I'm not rich yet. I haven't achieved my goals. I am not a millionaire. I am not da 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 da. And what I realized was like, it literally doesn't matter. When you are yourself, you're going to find the people who are like, I love this vibe. People love authenticity. People love it when you haven't cracked it. And like, that is the most consistent thing that's come through in my journey. It's like, I've asked clients who have signed on to, like packages. I have asked people who have joined like programs of mine, like, why did you choose this? And they were like, I love it how you haven't cracked it yet. And I'm like, the reason why you think you can't do something, or why you can't succeed at something, or why it's not going to work, is literally the reason why it is going to work. People love your point of difference. My point of difference is like that I have literally not made it yet. And so people love that. So own it, step into your power. If you've got a way of doing things that's unique, that's different, do it. So when you've got this doubt of the unknown coming in, flip it and like be like, this is gonna be the reason why someone falls in love with their life again. Someone who, has never danced before is just gonna like have this fire light them and like ignite them, and they're just gonna be like the happiest people ever, because you are you for a purpose. You were put on this earth for a purpose. You were doing the mahi that you're doing for a purpose, and it's like you've just got to be you. I hope that helps.
No, this is deep, Mahi, that we're doing. Honestly, I feel so incredibly grateful just having you provide these answers because they're so relevant to right now of how this this hiding out of being in Juicy Waipuke. It's just awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Claire.
And okay, so there's then one of the last questions. This I'll just be open. So Maddie and I have like had vices or have vices that I just quit vaping last year in September for the first time in 3 years. And prior to that, smoking wasn't really difficult to me. Before for that, it was actually the vaping that was a horrendous vice. But I find like every now and then that I am smoking, and I guess I always just want to know like how what's happening in the inner world for people to stay sober and be healthy. Because I think when Maddie and I, or maybe some other friends that do have some vices, we're just like, are we just bored without it? We just don't, or just like it's like a treat yourself thing, or you do a hard mahi and then you come home and you're like, ah, now I'm gonna relax for this 10 minutes before I have to go to bed and then do it all over. That's what's I guess what's coming up in my hitting huddle when I'm like, treating myself or just have this one thing because in every area I'm so healthy and it's fine. What happens in your head to be where you are now and to not have any vices if you do?
I love this question so much, and I just want to like start off with like full disclaimer. I guess in my journey, this is something I'm still like literally working through. I'm not perfect. I'm not, I haven't like literally cracked this. So for those who haven't, for those listening who haven't heard it, and maybe this is the first episode you've ever listened to, but right at the beginning of my journey, I was like fully addicted to weed, like morning, like literally all hours of the day, smoking, binge eating, vaping, like all of the things. And one of the things that I had to do was I had to make a decision about what I needed to stop in my life in order to get where I wanted to go. And this decision, it's like nobody else can tell you to do this, which I love that you've come to this place of like this doesn't feel like in alignment anymore. And that's what it is. Like your mind, your body, it's aligning, and it's like these things are no longer serving me. And I really loved this question about like the treat thing too, because this is something I feel like I'm at a place now where I like have changed my mindset around this. I used to think that like, yeah, I will work really, really hard and I will like finish all my mahi and then I can just have a treat at the end of the day. Yeah. And you know what I realized was that it's not a treat. Like if I wake up the next day and I'm more tired because of this treat that I had the night before, that's not a treat. That means that I'm literally going to have lower productivity the next day. I'm not going to feel as good the next day. I'm not going to feel as strong. I'm not going to have the mindset towards doing the things. What we're doing every single time we make a decision is we're creating evidence in our life. So, when I was trying to, stop to smoking weed, every single time I had a cone, I was telling myself, you couldn't do it. Like, you couldn't do it today. And so what I realized is I had to become bigger than my thoughts. When I had a thought of just have a cone, just have one more, right? I had to go like today I'm not. And it's so hard to do this when your brain is going just have one, just one more, right? It's like you have to learn how to do this. And as I said, I like whether it's like literally kite, and I want to speak to that one because that's something that is something that I instill going through in my life. Like I've literally, it's funny because, well, I don't know if it's funny, but I've lost 75 kgs, but I still sometimes will, and I'm gonna say accidentally binge, but what I mean by that is like, I don't intentionally go out and like I'm just gonna have a binge. But I remember the last time I was doing 75 hard, I actually failed because I was really tired this one day and I hadn't done my meal prepping. And then my whānau came over and they had my favorite kai, which was a deep fried Moro. I love deep fried Moros so, so much. And I was unorganized and I was hungry, I was tired. And I caved and I ate it. And then I didn't stop there. I kept on going and I just ate everything in the whole house. And like just being so real with you all. But what I did after this is what matters. I learned from this and I was like, okay, when I'm tired, when I'm not well prepared, I'm more likely to do da 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 da. So, how can I create a strategy to help improve this? So, for example, if like tired is something that we all navigate, right? And maybe it's that you can't control when your whānau comes over with like yummy food or your vices. But maybe you can control how the strategies that you use when that happens. So you might have like a thing that you do, a strategy that you use. So mine is that like now, and I can't remember if I have binged since that time, a few months. I can't really remember. But anyways, I meal prep my kai like every single day now. So I don't like having lots of kai like eating the same thing, but I'll have like I cook two meals each time. So it's my morning and my lunch, sorry, at my dinner time. And so I always have that like prepared so that even if they come over, I bring my kai and I know that when I'm not hungry, I'm more likely to just stick to my plan, right? So you've got to make a decision about what it is that is no longer serving you. And when those thoughts come in of just do one more or just do da da da, you've got to learn how to quieten them. And when I speak about this like decision that you've got to make, any decision is fine for like whoever you are. Like I really believe in like living your life, doing the things like if you want to do it, but also just being very mindful about the impact this will have. So for example, if you're and I know you're super busy with like mahi, with starting this pakihi, so your energy is so important. Your time is so important. So where you're putting your energy, where you're putting your time, this is going to impact you tomorrow, the next day. So say for example, like it might be fun to like go out and have a nice night out, right? But if the next day you can't do your non-negotiables for your pakihi, then like it's not just the night that you're having fun on. It's like you're sacrificing the next 3 days of your productivity being lower. So making a decision from that lens as opposed to like I'm never gonna have fun again or things like that. And the other thing too that I wanna just touch on is like having fun. So I personally don't drink that much. Like I'm not like someone who like I never will never drink, but I don't drink that much. And one of the big things is like I know that the next day I'm gonna be so much more tired and I'm not gonna be able to focus on my mahi as well. So that's one thing. And then the other perspective too, which I just wanted to touch on from a money mindset perspective, every dollar is so valuable. Like every dollar can be leveraged into so much more. So if you're using your pūtea towards vices, then you're choosing to put it towards that as opposed to something which can help you move forward. So say for example, say for example you're spending $30 a week on a vape and you're spending $20 a week at buying takeaways because one night you don't want to cook, or even two. Like let's just say you're going to the takeaways twice per week for and those are like $20. Say you're spending $100 on these vices a week, which I know for so many people is like very realistic. Like they're doing that, right? That $100 could literally be like a cleaner like once a week, and that cleaning in your whare could mean that you can put more time towards your pakihi, right? So just thinking about it from that lens, and it might those examples might not be relevant for everyone, but think in your life what are the things that like spending $10 on this could mean that I can have a subscription in my business that means that I save time doing XYZ. So like I used to always say, oh, I can't afford like a Calendly subscription or something like that that's actually going to save me time. But then I was spending money on things that I didn't need to be spending money on. So it's like valuing every single dollar. Ahakoa he te he pounamu, like looking at it like from that lens.
That's a really good takeaway, the like valuing and respecting like every dollar and how it is a privilege. It truly is a privilege. And I'm also just thinking about all the things that what do I truly want to spend the extra $20 or $40 on? It's like I want to dance more, but then I'm feeling a It's interesting. I think it's definitely something that I'll have to continue to face every time it comes to me of, oh, but do you also want to treat yourself for da da da? Like it's obviously still present. It's not just like going to disappear right now, but continuing to just face and question it is what I imagine it'll make it dissipate, is that it needs to be caught in action and have a light on it rather than it just constantly under the radar be feeling my heating at all. It's like, let me just put a light on you so that it's kind of like you're caught in like red-handed kind of vibes. That's what I find with some of my other thoughts, but yeah, that's always a big one. And then so lastly is more something that Maddie and I have been thinking to do in our classes. We noticed that actually I'll ask the parts I first. So having a pay scale, what are your thoughts? Encouraging like this would maybe encourage more community accessibility, capacity, being able to koha and provide more opportunity. And the pātai from that is, would it be profitable or sustainable? And the example is when Mads and I have Juicy Wā up and running with our booking system and regular classes, we were thinking of having a pay scale as we noticed that some people don't come to class because they can't afford coming to class. And then others would pay extra for other people to come. Like other people had more capacity. Yeah, everyone's just in different positions. But yeah, we noticed during this koha series that a lot of people do have that capacity to provide and give more while others have a less, or they're just at different stages each week of now I have more to give and now I don't. So we're like, should we suss like a pay scale between 10, 15, and $20 for the class? So the average amount that you would find in Pōneke would be $20 is like really the minimum for a class here. And it does work for some, and then it's during winter period, it's really, really can be difficult to sustain. But we thought that we'd communicate to the community that we are trialing a pay scale as we don't, we want it to be accessible. If you can't afford it 1 week, then pay the minimum and, you know, kind of allow it to pay as you can. But obviously on the other end, we're like, is it sustainable? Is it profitable? Has this been tried? Yeah. Do you have any whakaaro around that?
This is such a good pātai, and this is something that, like, and even in my pakihi with, the mahi that I do, it's something that I'm like very conscious of. And one of the things that I wish someone told me at the beginning of my journey was how many like grants and how much funding is out there for certain things. So, say for example, you were going to put on a dance class that was, say, free for, people in our community who can't afford to do these things, but they're like by coming to this dance class, they're gonna feel more like they're gonna feel incredible. They're gonna like their vibrations are gonna raise. They're gonna like all of the different things. You know what the impacts of this mahi is. And so one of the ideas that I just had as you were talking was potentially like reaching out to different organizations that might be willing to actually sponsor this so that you can actually sustain this. Because when you're wanting to build a pakihi where you this could be your full-time thing, you do need to have pūtea coming in. Where it's coming from might not necessarily be from the people who are taking the programs, taking the classes, sorry. But so there's like so many different ways to do this. It could be that. It could be, I really like that idea of like a pay scale. And I heard of this guy doing that. I can't remember his name, but he did something like that, and it was really profitable for him. And it meant that people could the accessibility was there. So I would ponder with this, and I would think about how can I, what I would do is I would think about like what are your core like values in this? What is really, really important to you? And then how can you like stick to those as you move forward in this huarahi? And what are the different solutions you could come up with? I know so many like pakihi who would be like, we could do, and I'm not sure where you do like your dance classes, but say there might be like a space where who was like you can use our event space to do your classes, or like we could put on we could sponsor some pūtea towards this, or like whatever it is, right? And that's where like the connections come in, like getting on LinkedIn and actually connecting with some of these people, having coffee with them, and like really just expanding your network. Because I think like there's a traditional way of doing things, like $20 classes, that's the fee. If you can't afford that, don't come. And if your tinana, if your henengaro is saying that doesn't feel right, then like look at a pathway that does feel right. What does feel like something you can do that is, because you want to be strategic, you want to be a profitable business, because that's that thing that I was talking about. Like, this is a service to literally everyone. The world is better when you have this class up and running. And so by you doing this mahi, you're creating greater impact, but you cannot do that unless you are actually sustainable and actually creating a profit. You're not going to be able to do this mahi full time if you're not actually bringing pūtea in. So you want to manage both. And it could be actually like, say, I don't know, just an idea, but like maybe some of them are, $20 classes, and then maybe you do like fortnightly or monthly classes that are like for the community, that are like you get sponsors, and maybe you're well known for like Juicy Wā does community things. And where you were saying like kanikaniki, different places, kanikaniki kirikiriroa, kanikaniki tāmaki, and like maybe different organizations are like, well, you can use our event space. Another one's like, we'll pay for your transport to come. Another organization's like, will pay your fee. And like, you need to have those hononga to be able to make that happen. Putting your name out there, the social media presence, like you can actually share this online. Like, kia ora e te whanau, my name is Jade, and my goal is to travel around Aotearoa putting on free dance classes, because I know firsthand that, and I'm just making stuff up here, that by dancing, my mental health has improved, my physical health has improved, all of the things, right? But I can't do this unless I get support from organizations or da 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 to be able to make this happen. So, just thinking about like, what is your mission and your pakihi, and how do you want to do it? How other people do it isn't how you have to do it. And that's where that authenticity piece comes in. You get to decide what it is for you and allow this to like be fluid and allow it to change. I didn't, if I could have heard this podcast when I started my journey, this would have been so helpful, because I didn't think about like, how could I do this like this? But that's what I wish I knew at the beginning of my huarahi
I haven't even thought
and
about that,
business.
about the collaboration opportunities. And again, Mads and I are just really, really big on community and connection with others. And if that looks like through LinkedIn and like you said, other studio spaces, we're really big on that. So that's a cool. That's really good advice that I've jotted down. I feel like I had one more pathway that I've thought. Actually, this is just personal, being in Pakehi. But when it comes to your, I guess, yeah, personal development and your training, for me, I'm thinking of, I want to hire more coaches or one-on-one dancers and do as much dance classes, because this dance is something that I really love doing. It's not something I just love delivering. It's something I want to continue up leveling in. Do you find or look for personal development opportunities for your own in your space, in your pakihi? Like, how does that look like? And yeah, what's the process for that, I guess?
Yeah, 100%. Such a good pathway. So, being a business owner is like one of the biggest self-development journeys like anyone could go on. Like, I feel like when I look at who I was at the start and who I am now, completely different person. And the key thing in that is self-development and consistently putting myself in rooms where I was going to be exposed to new information, where I was going to be exposed to expanders. Like, I was going to be exposed to people who had the things that I wanted, people who I could learn from, who I could elevate from. Oh, elevate from, you know what I'm saying. And so I guess like as a tangible thing for anyone listening, what I would do is I would create like a list of the things that you want to improve on. So you want to do the like dance classes, or maybe it's that you want to learn how to do the back end of running a business. Maybe you want to learn about the administration of that. Like I would create a list of the things that you need to do, and then I would think, who in my network has the answers to these things? Who do I already know? Who maybe already runs a business? Who do I already know who is a professional dancer? Who do I already know that has da 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 da, right? And then if you don't know those people, who do you know who might know those people? So, and actually one of the things that I think is so valuable is voicing it. So when you let it out of your hinengaro, you let it out of your notepad and you actually just start talking about this, like say for example, you're looking for a mentor, you're looking for someone who can teach you how to do like the back end of your business, right? By you voicing this, someone's going to say, oh, my friend is looking for someone doing da 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 da. And then they'll be like, well, like, connect her up. So, like, voice it, share it with the world. Like, don't be afraid to like ask someone to have coffee, to like kōrero with them, and like build meaningful connections. I think that's what's so important. Like, not going into every thing with like, I want to learn from this person, or like, and that's completely fine, but like,
Change.
how can we build meaningful connections with people who we want to be like, people who we want to strive to create impact like they have? And like, going into it with like, I can also help in like this kind of way, or I could support them with this, or I could do this for them. I think that's like a really helpful thing that I've done in my journey. And then like for specific things, if you're like, I actually want to learn how to do, say for example, you want to learn how to create a strategy for social media. Maybe you feel like you need to join a program that's going to teach you how to do that. Maybe you want a mentor, and like there are paid mentors, there are just people in your world and your network who can like support you, but there might be a specific thing that you're wanting support around, or like someone who like you like really love their business, want to really like are inspired by what they've created. So like I would practice discernment with what feels right, what feels in alignment for you of like, everything that I have, like this is how best I'm going to utilize it. These are the things that I feel so called to do, in your journey.
No way, and I feel like it's so funny. I have the question and then it just
Yeah.
it was last question quickly. Would you hire, like, while you're doing a full time something else outside of your pake and that's in the side hustle space, would you hire someone to do your social media, to do the admin side so that you can just go in and deliver and just do the, Maddie and I just want to dance. The admin, obviously, now that it's our pakihi, like, we want to love on this pirpi as much as we can because it's our pirpi now. But we're like, I'm just thinking when we're speaking on the streamlining earlier or just making things as efficient and, less heavy, would you recommend hiring someone? What does that look like?
Yeah, this is such a good part. And like from my own journey, when I was working and I was doing this, and I was doing business part time, I was using the pūtea to get the support that I needed. So if I was able to outsource something so that I didn't have to do it, that meant that I could use like my time more efficiently. That is something that I did. And I just really want to like encourage people to like think about their business, what they have the capital to do, and like getting advice from people like for your specific situation based on how much you've got there and like all of those different things. But I think that outsourcing is one of the like smartest things that you can do, because you only have so much time, right? And especially if you're working full time and you're trying to do this on the side. When it comes to social media, I really believe that like nobody else is going to be able to magnetize your people like you can. So when it comes to the verbiage, the kupu that you're using, like someone else, you can tell them like we're a dance class, we do da 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 da. Nobody else is going to be able to like speak to them like you can. So that's something I'm mindful of. Like even with ChatGPT, like I will draft something, and like maybe I'll ask ChatGPT to just like edit the mistakes in it. But like for like actually creating content, ChatGPT can't speak to my people like I can. So, you know, or like say if, for example, even just someone I hire can't do that as well. So I'm mindful of that side of things, but when it comes to actually outsourcing things in your pakihi that, you know, it doesn't matter who does. Say for example, responding to emails, like then like if that's gonna free up your time and that's like what's most valuable for you in that specific period. I always like to listen to my intuition. So I will do like a meditation session. I'll be like, if I have an idea, I'll be like, is this what like feels right? And like so many people are like, that's so woo-woo, but I'm like, it works. Like I will
And
like
your is so intelligent, bro. You know what I mean? Like when you sit on it and like let the body to like, you know, and I'm speak from experience of every, you know, all the time, every day dancing. Like your Tina Nut is an intelligent being that like say yes or no. And so I risk personally just because of what I do, I resonate
And
that
like
way.
it connects you to a higher power, right? Like the things
Yeah.
we do not know. So that has like served me so well to be able to like ask my intuition what it thinks.
Oh, wait. Cool. This is all my parts I answered, and just wow, I'm so grateful. I'm honestly, girl, I'm so grateful. Thank you so much.
This has been such an incredible like opportunity to share this stuff with you, and I've had so much fun, and it's been so cool to just reflect on my journey and, you know, provide some support in the ways that I can with your pakihi. I'm so excited to like just watch this just completely like blow up. I can't wait to see your content. I can't wait to see it all, and I can't wait to hear your updates on everything. But for everyone who's listening who would love to support your pakihi, maybe they live in Pōneke, they want to come to a dance class, maybe they are waiting for kanikani ki tāmaki or kanikani ki kirikiriroa. How can they follow you? How can they find you? Please let everyone know. I will put all of the information in the description down below. But yeah, anything like that and any final words for everyone?
Okay. Mostly Instagram is where we are operating at this time, and that is Juicy Wah. And instead of the Tohu tour, we the tag is double A, so Juicy Wah 2 A's. And
Perfect.
at this time, we're still up and running our Facebook page, but hoping to have Juicy Wah with the Tohu tour with the macaron on the A, and then email if that's a preference is Juicy Wah 2 A's at gmail.com. But yeah, again, this is a starting phase, so great if anyone is listening and also in the same space. I just want to again give so much thanks to you, Te Kahakura. This has been so helpful, and ngako filling, and just yeah, the timing of it, of our connection, of our hiding within, you know, other mahi and kaupapa. It just feels so divine. It feels so divine. And Maddie and I feel incredibly held and guided through us starting this kaupapa. So, and it all has to do with connections, with who supported us. And it's not just us that have created the space. Again, it's yeah, the people that we know, which you've spoken so much to today. So thank you so much. We are excited. And if you do want to watch when Juicy Wah will start traveling, the Instagram page is our best way of comms at this time. So, ngā mihi nui ki a koe en i koutou. Thank you.
Oh, mean. Oh my gosh. What an incredible episode. I literally love this so much. Like, this is, as I said, something completely new. This is probably one of the longest episodes I will be uploading in a while. Like, we definitely yapped on, but I hope that everyone enjoyed this podcast episode. Like, please send through a message if this is something you enjoyed, because I would love to hear from you all. As I said, I had fun. I feel like Jade had fun. And, like, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing where this kind of takes the future of the podcast, because this is definitely something I'm thinking about, of like how to grow this and everything like that. If you enjoyed today's podcast episode, I would really love it if you could share this on your story, if you could share it to a friend. This just helps the podcast be pushed out to more people, so I can continue to invest in this podcast and grow it to support our whānau with all things pūtea, mindset, pakihi. But yeah, it's been such a privilege to be with you all today. And I will be back on again next week. Yeah, that's it from me. Mauri ora e te whānau.